Jones reads Frederick Douglass's historic speech, What to the Slave, is the 4th of July. And we talk to the chairman of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe about the standoff at Standing Rock and where it stands today. Happy birthday to Isis Phillips. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to be a founding sponsor of the Waterfront Blues Festival, happening June 30th through July 4th from noon to 10 p.m. Single-day passes are now available, as well as the Blues Buddy Pass, the Benefactor Pass, and many other options to enjoy the blues in person. Again, that's the 30th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival benefit for the Oregon Food Bank. Saturday, June 30th through July 4th, noon to 10 p.m. at Waterfront Park in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm/WBF2017.
You are listening to the 30th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival on the stations of Oregon Community Media, KBOO Portland, KMUZ Turner and Salem, KOCF LP Vanita, KPOV Bend, KSKQ Ashland and Medford, KSOW LP Cottage Grove, KWSO Warm Springs, KYAQ Siletz. More information about OCM can be found at OregonCommunityMedia.org.
Girl, KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Next Level 3.0's party, Vogue Beach Please, on Saturday, July 1st from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. at Tonic Lounge in Portland. Next Level 3.0 is a collaboration with Flawless Shade, the House of Flora, and the House of Ada, featuring KBOO's Dina B and DJ Gila River Monster, and more DJs and performers. Costumes are highly recommended. Again, that's Next Level 3.0's party, Vogue Beach Please, on Saturday, July 1st from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. at the Tonic Lounge, 3100 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to 90.7 KBOO Portland. This program is made possible by KBOO members and support from the Oregon Country Fair, July 7th, 8th, and 9th, featuring music, food, and crafts in Vinita, Oregon. Admission and parking tickets are available only at Tickets West, as absolutely no tickets will be sold at the fair site. Directions to this family event and visitor info available online at OregonCountryFair.org.
Reader's Digest in the back of the dirty bookstore. A plastic flag with gum on the back fell out on the floor. Well, I picked it up and I ran outside, slapped it on my window shield. And if I could see old Betsy Ross, I'd tell her how good I feel. But your flag, the cow won't get you into heaven anymore. They're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag, the cow won't get you into heaven anymore. Well, I went to the bank this morning. The cashier said to me, if you join the Christmas club, we'll give you 10 of them flags for free. Well, I didn't mess around a bit. I took him up on what he said, and I stuck them stickers all over my car and one on my wife's forehead.
Right there.
But your flag, the cow won't get you into heaven anymore. They're already overcrowded from your dirty little war. Now Jesus don't like killing, no matter what the reason's for. And your flag, the cow won't get you into heaven anymore. Hey, pick one out, Jason. Thank you.
And good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Positively Revolting. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn, and that is my favorite 4th of July song.
By Lynn's popular demand.
And it was first released in 1971. Do the math, people. That was a long time ago. It's all the same stuff going on now. I don't know if you get decals so much anymore, but part of what we're going to talk about is the hypernationalism today. And one of the things that set me off, Ani, when to talk about this, was I was at local grocery store who will remain unnameless, and they're like, hey, and get your flag draped coolers. I just want a cooler. I don't need a flag on it. Flags are now everywhere.
Fascinating
in a fascist kind of way. So what have you to say, Ms. Haynes?
Well might you ask, this is that time of year where we are faced with we are awash in red, white, and blueness. And I think that this year, I mean, you know, most years we sort of look at the ramifications of that, whether it's the lies we were taught in civics class back in third grade. You know, everyone remembers Miss Morris's civics class. And, the fact that we have one person, one vote, we live in a democracy. It's amazing. Yeah, it's the land of the free. It's the home of the brave. And then we grow up and we realize that and the Tooth Fairy, you know, maybe not quite what they were billed to be. And so there's that I always think about this time of year.
Though at least in civics, back when we took civics class, they did go through what the structure is supposed to be, which folks don't get that anymore.
I don't even know if there are civics classes anymore.
That's right? What I mean.
So there's that. There's the notion that we were really sold a bunch of lies. As people growing up in this country, learning about our system, and thinking that at some point perhaps it was fair. We also, you know, just sort of looking at what the notion of freedom means. And since I was, since I've been politically active, and I started young, right? So I had all these wide-eyed sort of ideals as a 12-year-old, as a 13-year-old, going out and leafleting at the Portland Saturday Market. Yes, because that's how I spent my Saturdays as a 13-year-old. leafleting sort of messages of peace and socialism. And I was always very curious about being confronted by usually older white guys, pretty much exclusively older white guys, who would yell at me and tell me that this was a free country, and if I didn't like it, I could go someplace else. They always suggested Russia, which they always suggested I go back to Russia, which I found really curious, having never been there.
Is that why you took Russian in?
It's actually a part of it.
Okay.
That is actually what motivated me, in part, to learn Russian in college. It's true. But I had to sort of scratch my head as a 13-year-old thinking, well, this makes no sense. If they want free speech and they value democratic freedoms and plurality of thought in this country, why are they mad that I'm in disagreement with our government? I thought that was my right as a citizen of this country. What does free speech mean when you don't want pluralism? What does free speech mean when it's only free if you agree with it? What is that about? And so that's a question we have for today, focusing on, really also this whole sea of red, white, and blueness as we look at fascism staring us in the face. And that twist of nationalism, it's taken on a really ugly, even more ugly. Okay, it's always been ugly. It's even more hideous this year than I have felt it before in my life. So there's those questions. I'm going to throw out the phone number before we go on because, oh, yes, we can go on. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Dear listener, jump on into the conversation. We have so much to talk about this morning. How are you getting through the, you know, what do we call that? Hyper patriotism of this time of year. Yellen?
Yeah. Howard Zinn, a dearly departed elder, still has some of the... I always turn to things he has written when it comes to the 4th of July. Now, for those of you who don't know about Howard Zinn, he was a history teacher. He was also a veteran. He served in World War II, so he knew a thing or two about war. The first part I will talk about with him is this is an article that's on Alternet right now. There's a couple of them, but I loved that he was saying in the celebration of the 4th of July, there will be many speeches about the young people who died for their country. But for those who gave their lives, did not, as they were to believe, die for their country, they died for their government. The distinction between country and government is at the heart of the Declaration of Independence, which will be referred to again and again on the July 4th, but without attention to its meaning. The Declaration of Independence is the fundamental document of democracy, according to Howard Zinn. It says governments are artificial creations established by the people. And I quote, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, unquote, and charged by the people to ensure equal right of all to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I had commie history teachers who always told us pursuit of happiness means pursuit of property. I think we can probably bear that out. Furthermore, as the Declaration says, whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. It is the country that is primary, the people, the ideas of the sanctity of human life and the promotion of liberty. That's what is supposed to be celebrated here. And I think we've gotten to the opposite of that. There is a new NRA ad out that I was really tempted to play, except I refused to give them any more publicity. I suggest that people go to it, and it basically kind of gets away from the, we want guns for hunting and whatnot. It's basically what it sounds like in a very... not very couched sort of way, not very described way, is to use your gun with protesters. That's what they're for. That's pretty inflammatory for me to say that. Check out the ad. It's just as inflammatory. And of course, that gets put on public airwaves because they're paying them to do it, I guess. So the other thing he says here is when a government recklessly expends the lives of its young for crass motives of profit and power while claiming that its motives are pure and moral. This was written in 2006. John Prine's song was published in 1971. We don't seem to be making a lot of headway with this. According to Howard Zinn, it's violating its promise to the country. War is almost always a breaking of that promise. It does not enable the pursuit of happiness, but brings despair and grief. The other thing Howard Zinn used to talk about was that he didn't think the Revolutionary War was necessarily necessary. He said Canada seemed to be able to break free of England without doing that. Just an example. Just a little something I'm throwing out there. What do you think, people? 503-231-8187 is the number to call, or you can get us at Gmail, positivelyrevolting@gmail.com, and maybe Twitter. I don't think we're watching Twitter. Right,
well, now. But you can, in fact, follow along in the Twitterverse throughout the week.
Yes,
you can find us there at Positive Revolt, and also our Facebook page, Positively Revolting, on Facebook. Let's go ahead and talk to Moose. Good morning, Moose. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Moose. Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm having a great morning. I got a few hours off work.
Fantastic.
Yeah, feels good.
And what do you have to say this morning?
Well, I'm actually just really confused because I have some really progressive friends who I am certain are, in terms of their emotional kind of literacy. I know that there is a high likelihood that these friends are well ahead of me in development, and they are very feminist. They're very into, you know, the whole progressive movement. So I'm really hesitant to call them liberals. I mean, I almost want to call them radicals because of their extent of belief. And I've been in this ongoing debate about Chomsky and the Faussian affair and the free speech thing. And so there was this Holocaust denier in France in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And Chomsky and like 400 other intellectuals signed this thing. And then because Chomsky is the most famous one, he was kind of...
Now, what was just like, for our listeners, what was the thing that they signed?
They signed a thing that said that this man, who was a professor in a French university, mm-hmm. had the right to publish books on the side, saying whatever the hell he wants. If he happens to think that the Holocaust didn't happen, which is ludicrous, but, I mean, it's ludicrous to even engage in the debate, so ignore it, but that he had the right to publish that book. And that free speech is super important for ideas that you detest. And that, you mm-hmm. know, if you're only in favor of free speech for ideas that you happen to find acceptable, then you're just not in favor of free speech at all.
Right. I've heard the argument.
It's an interesting... So I'm sorry. Go on with your point.
That was it. That's really it. I'm just absolutely... Well,
where do you fall on that?
I don't know. I mean, I've listened to Chomsky's arguments about it, and... as usual with him, it's just so rock solid and impenetrable and unarguable. It makes perfect sense. I mean, I don't get where you can draw the line between being, I mean, his point, he likes to be inflammatory sometimes. He's like, Goebbels was in favor of free speech that he finds acceptable. You know, Stalin was in favor sure. of free speech for ideas that he agreed sure. with.
Maybe right. the definition of what free speech actually is.
And I think that there's actual debate, right? Because we're not in agreement, and it's okay to sometimes not
right.
be in agreement.
I mean, there would be agreement on the left if it were, you know, yeah.
Because, I mean, this debate is, it's a real, it's a happening, it's a now kind of debate. And I
well,
think...
I validated that at least. I just thought I was going crazy.
No. Well, you might be, but no, not
that's
about that.
Beside the point.
And because my friends understandably are going like, are you insane? You're defending neo-Nazis and right. their free speech? And I'm like, yes.
Well, sometimes I think what's the difference between free speech is hate speech free speech?
And that's, so for me, there are certain lines that get drawn. And for others, those lines aren't there. And I think that that's an interesting point of discussion, because I don't think there's an ultimate one answer, right? I think that we yeah. learn in the debate, and that maybe yeah. You know, maybe it's okay to shift and think about things and not actually think that we have the one right answer and we're going to cling to it until the day we die. I personally... don't think that that Nazis and white supremacist organizers have absolute right to free speech, because they organize.
So that
you have to really watch what you're saying on the air.
So sorry.
That's all right.
So, but I what I'm hearing you say is that you're falling towards the side of absolute free speech. The ACLU actually is on that tip as well. And I have great respect for them, and I understand the principles. I understand the reasoning. I'm not there anymore. I used to be. I now think that when people organize in death squads, your speech, your free speech ends when you're trying to kill me. And when you're trying to, you know, that for me, that's a solid line. But that's where I am now. That's not where I was 10 years ago. And so I think that we learn in debate. I think that we learn by talking to each other. And we understand that there is no one answer here. There are those that agree with me. There are those that agree with you. And we have way more in common than we do with the folks that are trying to damage us. So let's keep that debate going. Let's keep talking to each
other. And thank you for thinking.
Well, you're welcome, Eamon. I really hope that is something that you mean. Whether I'm right or wrong about this issue, I really hope that you honestly feel that I'm not a bad person for thinking about it and
heavens,
asking
no.
questions. I mean,
no.
maybe I shouldn't take such a firm stance, you know, but...
Well, no, I think that actually we should not all think alike.
Well, and
radical morality, right?
And there's a problem when there's only one particular way to think. But also, I don't get sort of for me how it is free speech when you're, as Ani was saying, wanting to hurt people.
So let's
and squash their.
I mean, that was a clear-cut case in the Faustian affair. I mean, he wasn't really a neo-Nazi. He was a fairly apolitical kind of person. Like, yeah. He wasn't really interested. So he just happens to have come to the conclusion that the Holocaust was fabricated, which, of course, is bull. But he comes to that conclusion, and then are we really going to entrust the state to determine historical truth? Yeah.
I think, again, this
is a very fine question, sir.
A fine question. I think Holocaust deniers are really kind of dangerous. And yet, I think it's a good question that you have put out into the universe. It's not going to be answered right here and right now. And I thank you very much for asking it.
Okay, awesome.
The bases are loaded, so we're going to go ahead and move on. Thanks very much, Moose, for your call.
Bye. Have a beautiful day. Bye.
You too. I do also want to throw out there that our friend... A Raging Grandma. Yes, Raging Grannies Unite has sent in an email with two urgent action alerts. And so here's the first one. Please, she writes, this is a day that people should call state senators and representatives and ask them to vote yes on HB 2066. If the bill does not pass, among other things, the residential tax credit for solar energy will end. This is an important incentive and credit to at least do something to encourage and support people to convert to renewable energy. The second is a more long-term action. It's a group called OFER that is tied to the white nationalist movement. It is proposing an initiative for the November 2018 ballot and will be starting to collect signatures for the initiative petition 22. It would, she writes, if passed, repeal Oregon's 30-year-old inclusivity law, that's ORS 181A.820, which prohibits the use of state and local resources to enforce federal immigration law. This greatly endangers our immigrant population and could promote more targeting of certain groups. Check into the site and be aware of deceptive tactics. So we thank you very much, Joanna, for sending in those action alerts. And we will post them also on our Facebook page and our Positively Revolting site on KABU as well. And again, you can find... us on KABU. You can find all of our archives on KABU at kboo.fm/positivelyrevolting. You can find us on Facebook, Positively Revolting. You can find us in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt.
We're not hiding.
No, you can find us anywhere. And let's talk to Norm, shall we?
Hey, Norm.
Oh, hi, Ani. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
I like your show. I always do.
Thanks.
Yeah, I agree with the previous guy about protecting all speech. I can think, you know, what I want and say what I want in response. And that's just where I'm at.
I wonder how our experience informs where we're at with this. Because I know that once you yourself are in a group targeted by, murderous gangs, that tends to shift one's perspective. I know it shifted mine.
And yeah, so, well, okay. I'm a white guy.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. I'm a het guy.
Okay.
Sure. I'm not.
I'm just what you know.
I'm wondering. And your partner.
Yeah, because for me, that's when things get very real. And I notice, that a lot of folks that are on the sort of absolutist free speech, hate speech is free speech, everything is free speech, may tend to fall into a category of straight white guys. And I just think that is something that we should check You know, because when supremacist groups are targeting you, it feels very different than an academic engagement.
You know, I guess I have to admit, I'm talking from the sidelines. You know, I'm not someone that's targeted, and that's...
But you're thinking about it, and I appreciate that you are thinking about it. Let me give an example of... Part of this is respect and kindness, also being completely... disvalued by, is that a word? I don't know if I could make that go and scramble.
Devalued.
Devalued, okay. but, okay, a friend of mine that's like a first grade teacher said to me, one of the things she is really not tolerating in her classroom is, or that she is completely making a part of the curriculum is kindness. She will not tolerate these, because these are like first grade kids of some of them are yelling at the kids that are atheist. I find that interesting. But she will not tolerate them not being kind to each other because that's how far down the road this has gone. And I think that that's also a big piece of what's going on with free speech is that it's supposed to be okay to yell and scream and yell hateful things at someone. That's just, on a societal level, it's so toxic. Does that make sense to you?
You know, from what I remember of my life in the playground when I was a little kid, it was a war zone.
Right.
I had to fight, and I had to yell, and I had to hit back, and I had to not take prisoners.
I'm right there with you.
Avoid being bullied.
Now, what I'm saying is that a good thing. I admire this woman for making kindness one of her biggest
like a core value in her curriculum.
Thank you very much. A huge core value in her curriculum to kind of stop this, because that's where it starts. And it starts at home, but she's not allowing. Is there free speech? Is the first grader's free speech being impeded upon because the teacher is insisting upon kindness and that people learn how to talk to each other? I know.
You know, I don't know.
That's the philosophy question of the day. Thank you.
Hey, thanks very much for your call. Anything else, Dad?
No.
But
no,
thank you for thinking. Keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Thank you for your service.
Hey, you take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And by that, he means getting up really early in the morning. I think that's it.
503-231-8187. Some mornings feel earlier than others. This one was very early. 503-231-8187. Like us on Facebook, Positively Revolting. Follow us in the Twitterverse, at Positive Revolt. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And we are talking about what does freedom of speech mean to you? How are you dealing with hyper-patriotism in a time of creeping fascism? When do we quit saying it's creeping fascism and admit it's just crept? Or just creepy fascism? All of these questions whirling around in our heads, and we want to know what's whirling around in yours.
So I'm going to give another quote from Howard Zinn because, God, he was such a brilliant man. I miss him so much. He's about nationalism, which, you know, if the 4th of July is one thing, it is how do you feel about nationalism? He says, it's not nationalism, that devotion to a flag, an anthem, a boundary so fierce it endangers mass murder. Is it not?
Engenders
mass murder, one of the great evils of our time, along with racism and along with religious hatred. This was said many years ago. I kind of have to agree with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that really that is, I think that's really an important point. And, you know, he is very clear on the devastation that nationalism brings.
And how
Orwell actually notes the distinction between patriotism and nationalism, which I think is also an important point to bring up. Nationalism, writes George Orwell, is not to be confused with patriotism, both words normally used in so vague a way that any definition is liable to be challenged. But one must draw a distinction between them, says Orwell, since two different and even opposing ideas are involved. By patriotism, Orwell writes, he means devotion to a particular place and a particular way of life, which one believes to be the best in the world, but has no wish to force on other people. Patriotism is of its nature defensive, militarily and culturally. It's a love of one's country, as opposed to what he contrasts it to. Nationalism, on the other hand, is inseparable from a desire for power and a desire to force one's culture and way of life on others. So, I think that that's an interesting distinction to bring into the conversation this morning. Let's go ahead and, gosh, talk to Dave, right? Yeah, good morning, Dave.
It's Dave's turn, yeah.
You're on the air.
Good morning, y'all.
Morning.
Morning.
I want to talk about how free speech works on the psyche.
Okay.
President Obama was elected in 2008.
He actually was.
And huh?
He actually was, which is a rare thing. In this century.
I'm African American, and I begged people not to do it, but that's another story. So there was a attempted auto lynching of a young black kid in Malala, Oregon. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Of course it didn't work. It was a copycat crime of James Byrd in 96.
Mm-hmm.
So a police officer went on Channel 8 News. I know I say this all the time, but there's a point. He went on Channel 8 News and exclaimed that we don't see a hate crime, okay? Now, I've been riding my bike in Portland for years. As soon as he said that, the microaggression, the attacks by white people in their cars mm-hmm. upon me on my bike has been horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
Horrendous. I've been hit 8 times by people who look at me through the windshield like, what the hell are you doing on my car?
Mm-hmm. And you're thinking that there's a direct connection because the words of the cop gives permission.
It was immediate.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to say. You cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you guys so much. I love you.
You take care.
Thanks, Dave.
You too.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. That is very well put and exactly in line with my point. Let's go to Tim. Good morning, Tim. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. What do you have to add?
Generally, well, as far as free speech is concerned, I think I agree with you guys that generally speaking, we want free speech and we want to protect everyone to have free speech. But when it gets down to talking about encouraging people to kill others because of what language they speak or color their skin is or whatever sexual parts they possess, that's ridiculous and that should not be allowed in my opinion. During the 1980s I was a Peace Corps volunteer in South America and I had the chance to travel to Chile when Pinochet was dictator.
Mm.
And also I was living in Paraguay where Stroessner was dictator. And people were disappearing like crazy, especially in Chile.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not advise the left to use peaceful means only. I would use peaceful means first to the best of my ability, but you need to be prepared in case things go the other way. Otherwise, you're just a sitting duck. And if you want to spend your nights wondering about what happened to the people you love because they disappeared and you never see them again, or if you want to wonder about what happened to your baby that was stolen from you and given to some right-wing general's family, then screw the guns. Just wait in your turn. And they'll come for you.
So you're talking from your experience of traveling in countries that were absolutely under dictatorships, and there's no argument, you know, with the history of the bloody reign of Pinochet and others.
Yeah. And recently, I've been reading, of all books, Mein Kampf. And Hitler had an interesting view of propaganda. He thought that propaganda was not to dispense information. It was to influence the masses to believe in a certain thing. And that the best propaganda was propaganda that was done in such a way that it was believable and accepted as true.
Yeah.
Without being questioned.
Yeah. Yeah, that I think is the difference between propaganda and news, right?
Huh?
Propaganda is there to shape opinion. It is absolute.
Mobilize the opinion for the country, for the fatherland, for God and apple pie.
All right. Hey, Tim, thanks very much for your call this morning.
Okay, you have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 503-231-8187 is the number to call this morning here on KABU, your community radio station. This is Positively Revolting. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And we are talking about, well, gosh, the 4th of July. Independence Day is our focal point to have this discussion on patriotism, nationalism, despotism, free speech. What are the limitations? Are there limitations? What's the difference between free speech and hate speech? How do we navigate these waters together and find substantive conversation? How do we inform each other through discourse? These are all the questions rolling around us at this time. You can follow along in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt throughout the week. You can find us on Facebook, Positively Revolting. And you can find our archives on the KABU website, kboo.fm/positively revolting.
There, you got that there. Right out. Yeah.
Let's act to Francis, shall we? Good morning, Francis. You're on the air.
Hello, women.
Hello.
Hello, Francis.
Propaganda is interesting. To me right now, we're all falling for this propaganda that we have to have an enemy. And I can recall that one of the questions to the people running for president was, who do you think is our greatest enemy? And I thought, what a strange question to be asking people. You know, we must have an enemy, is that correct? So that we can continue this war machine, profit-making thing that's going on right now? I'm not sure.
It would appear so.
But that's a huge... I noticed it everywhere. There's perpetration of conflict in the media and wherever. There has to be a conflict going on. Back to freedom of speech. I do have I kind of question the ACLU's notion on that. I don't think that someone's rights is a matter of opinion. I don't think it's a debatable subject that some people's rights can be violated or that oppression can be advocated.
Mm-hmm.
And when, like the gentleman just said, freedom of speech did not include crying fire in a crowded room. Why is that the case? Why is it not okay to yell fire in a crowded room? What is the reasoning behind saying that it's not okay? And I understand that it is because it would incite fear and...
Well, it endangers lives, right? And that's why there was that classic limitation.
It endangers life.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And
so
I think...
So when you advocate oppressing other people...
Exactly.
That endangers life, and it's a long-term endangerment.
I completely agree.
So I can make a distinction pretty easily myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with your friend who promotes kindness. That goes a long ways, and it's easy to do. But right now, with the propaganda the way it is, we've got some stuff to deal with. But,
a lot of it.
But as far
that's
as
the understatement of the day so far, Francis.
To me, there is no debate. There's nothing to debate when it comes to people's rights.
Yes.
There is no debate. Someone's liberty and right to life is not debatable.
Absolutely. You know, that was another question that, Lynn and I had for the show, which was, you know, what do we as a group, what do we as individuals think of as our collective rights? Because, you know, when I hear rights described, they're often not the rights that I actually think are inherent rights. And what I think are our inherent rights seem to be easily tossed away under the interests of capitalism. You know, like I think that we have an inherent right to a place on this planet, that we have a right to housing and shelter. And yeah. I think that as a society, if we're going to have a government, at its very, very basic, it needs to provide shelter. It needs to provide the basics that one needs to exist, right?
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Well, yeah, you know, I'll take shelter, food, and health care.
Yeah, right, which right. is basic. That's what security
that's
is.
The right to life.
Right, well, mm-hmm. and that's what security, this, the term security is bantied about as some military solution, but to me, security is housing, food, health care, meaningful work.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
And now
that's
I'm thinking,
not difficult.
Yeah. Well,
and yet it seems to,
that doesn't work under capitalism.
Not be in the interests of the elites. Strange that. Frances, thank you so much for your call this morning.
As always.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 503-231-8187. Join us.
Yes, I'm so glad people are really thinking about these things, and this is very heartening to me.
Yes, it's good. We love engaging in conversation. Heck, that's why we get up really early on Fridays and do this show. And good morning, Quartz. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hello. Thanks
Hello.
For taking my call.
Absolutely.
Free speech. You know, I'm like a mixed race person. You know, my father's from Africa. My mom's white, American, and I grew up in Oregon, rural areas, and experienced, you know, people calling me, saying the N-word, like, to me, you know, or around me. Mm-hmm. Weird things, you know, mm-hmm. big trucks, driving, following my car, following, you know, close behind and honking horns and all this crazy stuff.
Right.
And I've had the privilege to, like, you know, go become educated. Yeah, I went to college a couple times, got a couple master's degrees, and got real deep into the Western world, like what the Western and, you know, white male who, like, runs, you know, our whole university system, like, you know, their whole viewpoint on everything. And I, after doing all that, I went the opposite direction and really started studying, like, you know, just everything that was the opposite of that, like everything that was from, you know, other countries, Eastern philosophies and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just feel...
And what did you conclude, sir?
I concluded that what we're told is free speech, and, like, it's not free, it's not totally free here in, like, very basic that we all speak, like, or English is, like, the primary language.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an extremely limiting language. It doesn't have all the words to describe all the experiences that could possibly exist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, you know, being able to write really well, use poetic prose, you know, mm-hmm. to really say what you're trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And that that this, what's going on now with our political, economic climate, you know, with all these protests, counter protest and this and that it's like people are wrapped up in the same thing, like both sides, the side that's this side, and I hesitate to use those words right and left because that's part of the trick right there, like that's part of the spell, is like
part of the are you talking about divisiveness?
Yeah, the divisiveness, that's part of it. It's like, well, they're left or they're liberal or they're conservative. It's this like dual thing where it's like, oh, the one group is the opposite of the other group,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't take into account like spectrum
yeah.
of everything in between, and yeah. allow for like other people who could potentially help to even want to enter into the conversation.
Or the old phrase, like, "We're all in this together."
What's that?
Or the old phrase, "We're all in this together."
Yeah, the old phrase, we're all in this together, but I feel like a bunch of people, myself included, are, like, on the sidelines, and, like, I've, like, have felt these urges where it's like, oh, I kind of want to help, but I feel like you know, the people won't listen to me. You know what I mean? I kind of feel like the people who are like, you know, I'm come from minority sides, you know what I mean? And I, mm-hmm. years ago, like when I was in college, like the first time, I remember like, not like people just looking at me like I'm a weirdo or like, well, why are you talking about that? Or like, well, no, it's about this. And I'm like, well, that's what the racist people that you don't like are saying. And so why are you taking their lead rather than like, what I feel is our number one fundamental right in this country is that you can research and practice in private or in public, but that's where it gets risky doing it in public, any information you want to, like anything. And part of what I'm getting to is like unqualified sound. So sound coming out of like your central chamber, coming through your jaw, through your mouth, through your nose, that is unqualified through English language, that is just the tone itself. And drum and musical instruments being more than just, you know, a Western tool to make pop music and sell commercials and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah,
like,
absolutely, absolutely.
You can use these things to literally, and then this is where it gets real, like, you know, I'm trying to push some controversies, like, you know, you could get a bunch of people together, and if they could hit the right tone, you know, you could crumble, like, you know, concrete, you know what I mean? Like mineral-based objects and just, like,
yeah.
This whole other way of protecting oneself, because what free speech ultimately like comes down to is the way I feel, you know, it's like, well, it's your right to, you know, protect yourself, but it's like protecting yourself by defending against like hateful words that are coming at you in a reactionary way rather than proactively like pushing like a tone back like at that direction.
Mm-hmm.
To ultimately send that side a message that, like, I'm not even going to use your English language in this thing, and I'm not going to scream and do some ugly tones that hurt my throat. I'm going to actually calculate a frequency and, you know what I mean?
We have, I think we've lost you.
Yeah.
But we're going to move on, and thanks very much for your call, Quartz. That was very interesting. I have a bunch of stuff coming up on KBOO to let you know about. We have at 9 o'clock on the ground, voices of resistance from the nation's capital. There'll be reports on Trump Care, on Libya's slave markets, on DAPL, J20, and more. At 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia brings us headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, there'll be flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And 11 o'clock, we'll hear Mr. Jones's Neighborhood. Mr. Jones welcomes members of the Ty Curtis Band for a preview of the 30th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival.
And at noon, what happens then?
It's the 30th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, which KBOO will be airing live from, today at noon through about 10:15 or so. From today until we call that Tuesday, the 4th of July, noon to 10-ish, every day, Friday through Tuesday. We hope you'll join us. We hope you'll tune in or even, you know, go on down and support the biggest benefit for the Oregon Food Bank annually. It is a time of music on the waterfront here in Portland. We thank KBOO members for your generous support. If you are not currently a member of this radio station, you can actually take care of that right now. Go to kboo.fm and click on the donate button. So easy. You can do it. It'll be fantastic. And let's go ahead and talk to Deanna. Deanna.
Good morning.
Come on in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ani and Lynn. And thank you for this amazing conversation and for your very skillful handling of this pretty volatile subject, I would say, right now. I thought that pointing out to people that where you come from, you know, meaning where you are on the spectrum of people who might be the receivers of hate speech, might influence how you feel about it and draws it out of being an academic question. And I thought that was really great that you pointed that out. And Lynn, early on, I think you said maybe we should talk about what is free speech, meaning what, because it's a word that...
it's bantied about quite a bit these days.
Without saying each person what they mean by it. Then we have freedom and we have liberty, which are other words that can have many, many meanings and shades of meanings to people. Sometimes they're completely opposite, of course.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Some people by freedom mean economic freedom in the sense that I want to do everything I want to do economically, and that trumps everything. Pardon the use of that word.
As it were, so to speak. Yes, we have to find some other word for that. But
yeah, right.
But I understand. Go on.
Tops everything.
There
yeah.
you go.
But anyhow, I just also, I mean, you've really opened up quite a discussion, 4th of July, patriotism. I think that I'd just like to express my own feelings. It's been a long time now that I have not been a patriot, and even though that gets me some funny looks when I say it sincerely, and I can back up my reasons. And it's interesting because one of the reasons is I don't feel that it helps anything. The way I feel, I agree with what Howard Zinn said, basically, what Lynn was saying before, that it is a problem when you use it to justify hatred and war and all of these things. Also, in this country, to celebrate the 4th of July, in my opinion, the way it is has been traditionally celebrated is to completely ignore the fact of slavery and its what has been inherited from it, and the fact of colonization and where Native people find themselves today, which has not disappeared, which is what I was taught,
right.
But still struggling to be alive because of the incredible racism and patriotism ideas, right? These ideas that the dominant, typically white people, carry around from birth. It, you know, wasn't our fault in the beginning because we were taught it as kids.
and the system,
because we've got to,
because we're carrying on that system without challenge. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we have to take accountability for that because that is a system of great harm.
Yeah.
And you know, I just to say that. I think it's an important distinction because, again, many of us were taught that that Native American people somehow or another have vanished.
Yeah.
And in fact, what is the truth is actually, no, the system still consistently disenfranchises and harms people who are indigenous to this country. And I think that you know, by saying, oh, it's a tragedy that already happened, allows white people, allows dominant culture people to say, well, gosh, that was awful, but there's nothing I can do about it now,
exactly.
As opposed to the system is continuing to harm and disenfranchise, right. And therefore it needs to be changed.
One thing we have, I just wasn't thinking of saying this, but I'll take the opportunity right now, honey, is we here in the whole Portland area, Columbia River area, have a wonderful opportunity coming up on the 24th of July to see a film, a documentary, a terrific documentary called Promised Land, which will be out here in Multnomah Village. And it is a documentary made by and about the Chinook Indian Nation and the Duwamish people. I didn't know, and maybe somebody else doesn't know, that Chief Seattle was Duwamish, mm-hmm. and that these nations have been, and to this day, denied federal recognition as nations. And the onus is on them to prove that they are people. So I encourage everybody to come and shed a layer or two of ignorance, because that's how it has been for me as I keep trying every day to learn about the people whose land this is that we live on right here, you know, without even going to Standing Rock, right?
Right. Well, thank you so much. We got, we're almost on the show. We've got people, and thank you so much for your call today.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, boy. So do we want to squeeze one more person in?
I think let's go ahead and squeeze.
All right.
Good morning, Brian. You're on the air.
Thank you for I feel squaz.
consider yourself squazzing.
Just a real quick one. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the saying by Voltaire that I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it.
Yeah.
Wish somebody would tell Trump that. Just say, hey, but he's such an ignoramus, he would, who the hell's Voltaire? He probably thinks he's a game show host. Or so anyway, that's
I actually want to see Voltaire as a game show host now, Brian.
You know, there was this redneck in our local pub, you know, I was rabbiting on about Bush and, you know, how I'm not a citizen because of the crappy healthcare system. And he said, oh, we should get you a one-way ticket back to Scotland. And I said, oh, yeah, well, you want to talk about it? But Iran, you know, these people will not discuss things with you in any rational way. So I love pissing them off. Anyway, that's my little
It's a hobby thing. And a fine one, Brian.
Yeah. You know me, I never miss somebody and hit the wall.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call, Brian.
Ta-da.
Take care. And let's squeeze our last caller of the morning in. Go,
Edie.
Edie. Oh, maybe not. Edie, are you there? Nope, not so much. All right. Well, there we have it. There's a lot going on today, people. There is also there is a Patriot Prayers Freedom March. That event has been called today for today. That's Joey Gibson. If folks want to look that up, feel free to look that up. I've been debating the announcement all morning. Actually, some folks brought it to my attention earlier this week, and I don't really want to give them a whole lot of. Attention. Also, Rose City Antifa has a counter-protest planned. Go ahead. Look it up. The internets, they're there for you. I think that we need to figure out some long-term strategies for dealing with a culture so completely and deeply divided that we are at really epically dangerous levels yet again in this country. We've seen these spikes before in our history from the history books. I know them.
In my lifetime, this is the spikiest.
I was going to say, though, not so much in my personal lifetime. So there's all of that. We have, I will never forget. There was a fireworks stand. It was on Hawthorne at about 47th, 48th. Many years ago, actually, when Melody Silverwolf and I started doing Positively Revolting, within the first couple of years, we would always sit at Common Grounds Coffee Shop and plan our show because they had the widest selection of magazines that we could sort of look at and pull articles from and write notes from because this was pre-internet days.
Pre-inner tubes, okay.
It's true. And so we would sit at Common Grounds, and there was this little fireworks stand that popped up across the street. One of the first Julys of Positively Revolting, and they had a big banner up that said, I love my country, so I blow things up. And to me, that pretty much has epitomized the 4th of July and the 4th of July in common culture. Whatever you do this weekend, please stay safe, be kind to each other. And I think that looking at what is our inherent rights, and thinking about what rights we want to guarantee each other in our community, looking at creating a new world together, what are our inherent rights? What are our rights as a people, as beings on this planet? How do we want to co-create that together, and how can we make that real now? Those are my final thoughts. Lynn, over to you.
I find it hard to argue with that.
Thank you.
But I just want to say how heartened I am to have callers this morning who are actually trying to, thinking about how they feel about things, thinking about
thinking
what
is good.
Ramifications happen, because that is the other part that seems to be missing. There's a lot of reaction, but not a lot of thought. And in the meantime, stay positively revolting, people.
At 9 o'clock on the ground, Voices of Resistance coming right up. Stay tuned.
Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Improvisation Summit of Portland, Friday, June 30th from 5 to 11 p.m. and Saturday, July 1st from 3 to midnight at Disjecta in Portland. The Improvisation Summit is an annual music and movement festival presented by the Creative Music Guild. This year, the summit features artists like Andrea Klein, Sage Fisher with Institute for Creative Dying and Andy Rayborn, Andrew Durkin's Breath of Fire, and many more performers and artists. Again, that's the Improvisation Summit of Portland, Friday, June 30th from 5 to 11 p.m. and Saturday, July 1st from 3 to midnight at Disjecta Contemporary Arts Center, 8371 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kabu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 8:59 and 55 seconds in the AM, coming up at 9 on the ground. Voices of resistance from the nation's capital with reports on Trump Care, Libya's slave markets, DAPL, J20, and more. Followed at 10, the Air Cascadia and Flashpoints with Chris Andre and Dennis Bernstein, respectively. At 11, Mr. Jones's Neighborhood welcomes members of the Ty Curtis Band for a preview of the 30th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival. Yes, that begins... Fun begins at noon today and goes right till 10 p.m. And KABU's broadcasting most of it. Or all of it. Thanks, KABU members, for your generous support. If you're not currently a member, you can remedy that oversight at kboo.fm/give. Why not do it right now? As promised, this is On the Ground. Oh.